for our intro story. Have you been following the Harley Quinn animated show at all, Paul?
Yes, I did watch it. Yeah, it's really good.
Okay, nice. Well, as you know, they get a little bit more risque with their themes and stuff in the show because it's based on, you know, the villains. Harley Quinn, she's a villain. And Variety posted an interview with the Harley Quinn co-creators. And this is a quote by one of the co-creators, Justin Halpin. In the third season of Harley Quinn, we had a moment where Batman was going down on Catwoman. And DC was like, you can't do that. You absolutely cannot do that. They're like, heroes, don't do that. So we said, are you saying heroes are just selfish lovers? They were like, no, it's that we sell consumer toys for heroes. It's hard to sell a toy if Batman is also going down on someone.
Yeah, look, what's silly about that is this is for an R-rated show, and they're trying to sell toys to kids. It's like, I know it's like there's some adults that buy the toys, but, you know, generally if you're making mass-producing toys, it's most likely for kids. But you're making mass-producing toys for an R-rated show.
Oh, far out. Yeah, it's like, you know, even in like the Batman Arkham games, I was looking at like the original Batman Arkham game the other day. That was only M15 plus, right? And Batman breaks limbs in that game. He'll grab a thug by the leg and twist his leg the opposite direction. You'll hear the bone crack and everything. And still it was M15 plus, and that's perfectly fine to have him doing that in a video game, which is, you know, a Warner Brothers video game, as it's a Warner Brothers property. But yeah, no, going down on someone, that's, that, you know, R18 plus cartoon is far too far. Oh, I don't get it.
Yeah, well, that's because sex is dirty. Ew.
Oh, God.
It's like, you know, as like government officials and like just any higher ups, it's like, no, you can't talk about sex. That's dirty. It's nasty.
And
oh
I think,
God, why would you talk about that?
And it seems like most of the Twitterverse is in agreement with us, Paul. Like everyone seems to think it's ridiculous that you can't show something like this, considering all the stuff you can show with superheroes these days. And yeah, also in an R-rated show, this is post Deadpool. You know, he's chopping heads off and stuff like that. And how is it? I guess he never bangs, does he? Deadpool, we never see him like bang. So I guess, yeah. I don't know.
Well, it's probably been old mindset. It's like back in the day, they never really thought about characters hooking up, having sex. Like when in like what the 50s and 60s, when I don't know exactly when they were originally created, but yeah, no, like characters are more, I guess, adult now, and you know, sex is definitely a big part of that. And it's not dirty. It's, you know,
it's life.
It's life, and maybe like people be less, like, awkward, uncomfortable with it if it was more commonly talked about. Instead of this hush-hush. It's like, no, it's dirty, you can't talk about it.
Bloody oath, I totally concur. Now, would you remember that lovely illustration that I messaged you last night?
Oh, I'm staring at it right now.
Okay, so it's a fantastic detailed illustration of Batman giving Catwoman a good old time. He's growling her out. It's from an angle where you can't see anything. Everyone looks fully clothed, but it's very heavily implied what's going on. And Catwoman's having a wonderful old time. Now that was a tweet by Zack Snyder, in which all he said was canon. So. I'm on board.
Yeah. Look, I don't always like everything Zack Snyder does, but, you know, there's some things I can agree with, and, yeah.
And I guarantee you search Batman on Pornhub, you'll find plenty of things of someone who looks at least eerily similar to Batman doing something like this, I'm sure. Welcome to News to Reviews, your place to be for gaming news stories and also your place to be for impressions on the latest games coming out each and every week. My name is Zach, and I'm not here with my usual co-host that I'm here with every week. That's right, Lockie could not be with us. We ran into some technical difficulties. The way this show runs, basically, is like, you know that episode of The Simpsons where after the hurricane, there's the Bolorama just sort of teetering on top of that mountaintop, the peak of that mountaintop? That's basically our show, like, and just the slightest thing thrown out of balance and everything just can fall apart. And yeah, Lockie's not able to speak to us because his phone's bloody run out of battery. But he's going to get his phone's not running out of battery. It's like the battery's dead and it just keeps draining and it's just not screwed because, you know, technology, it sucks. So he should be back with us again next week when he gets himself a new phone. But unlucky for Lockie, because he has to miss out this week on a guest that I was lucky enough to get on. Oh, I'm so excited to talk about the game that you get to talk about it in impressions as well too. Holy shit. Yeah. Paul from the Inconsolables. Paul, how are you, bud?
Hello. Yeah, good. It's like, how convenient Lockie's, you know, out this week when I'm on. I think it's I think he's just trying to avoid me. That's what it is.
he just said he really didn't want to talk about Guilty Gear. He's got no interest whatsoever. No, Lockie was actually really excited by that one. So yeah, it sucks shit, Lockie. You miss out. But, oh yeah, I get to lap it all up. And where can all our listeners lap up everything that you create on the interwebs?
They can find me on Twitter and Twitch. Twitch are very random when I go on. But anyway, Thundermace AUS, THUNDRMACEAUS. And yeah, like even on Twitter, recently I figured out how to make videos that fit into Twitter. So I'll be posting some Guilty Gear matches up on Twitter. So you can go watch a few of them there.
Ooh, yeah. Bloody oath, man. Go check all of that out. And yeah, you can hit News to Reviews up on all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Twitter's the best place to keep track of everything we are doing. Our Twitter handle is at News to Reviews, and that's with a number 2 instead of the word 2. Paul, what do you think we get cracking into this gaming news? Because we have a lot to get to this week.
Let's do it! Let's go. All right.
So pretty much this week, as I mentioned last week on the show, is going to be dominated by E3 because that's what happened. E3 happened this week. So it pretty much has dominated the news entirely. We got some things to talk about. So the first thing to talk about, I think this was out of the Square Enix event, which I couldn't find anything else really out of the Square Enix event that really appealed to me other than this. Square's making a Guardians of the Galaxy game, and it's coming out on October 26th. It's being developed by Eidos Montreal, the people behind Deus Ex. What do you think of this one, Paul? Did you check out the gameplay trailer for this?
I've seen it floating around. It's always strange, because you've got the Guardians of the Galaxy property now as a big Marvel movie franchise, and everyone's so used to how characters look now from the movies. It's always strange going to a video game where they use more of the comic book style, and it's like, that's what they should supposed to look like. For someone that I haven't delved that much into the Guardians of the Galaxy comics, I'm more familiar with the movies. It's like, that looks kind of weird. But yeah, no. But other than that, I'm just like, Eidos Montreal, that's cool to hear. Because I was a bit more worried about, from hearing from Square, it's going to be another sort of their Avengers take on it, where it's like, let's monetize the shit out of it. Let's make it a live service. Which, from what I've been hearing, people are worried because I think you can only play as Star-Lord in the game. Which... And everyone's like, oh, they're going to make you pay to play the other characters, which it could be just more of a developer thing where it's decided, like, let's focus on one character so we can make it really good and tell a story better that way. But I can see where, like, it's Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, you want to play as the other heroes. Like, it's always been about the team, so... don't know. We'll see how it goes.
I'm there with you though, Paul. Like, I'd rather have a game where they focus a lot on one character rather than have another Avengers where they have all these characters that, I don't know, just none of them feel really that amazing to play, and the gameplay was just shallow as anything. So if they're going to focus on one character, it's going to be, you know, single player, narrative driven. That sort of gives me a little bit more hope. And would you say that the Star-Lord character design is closer to that of the comics?
I haven't looked at it side by side, so I'm not 100% sure. And as I said, okay. I've never read the comics. I'm more familiar with the Marvel movies, which made them actually really popular. Because I still remember when they added Rocket Raccoon to Marvel vs. Capcom 3, everyone was like, what the fuck is this little raccoon thing? And it's like, this is weird. It's like, oh, well, and they went along with it. And now everyone knows who Rocket Raccoon is, who Groot is, Gamora, and Drax. Everyone knows who they are now, so...
I didn't mind the different versions of all the characters in the trailer, but the only one I didn't really like was Star-Lord. I just thought he looked like just a douche. He just looked like a typical douche. He reminded me like Handsome Jack, but without the cool face mask, or like he kind of just looks like no offense, he's a great voice actor. I'm sure he's a good person, but he just looks like Troy Baker. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't know. I can't see myself really getting that excited about playing as Star-Lord through a whole game. But then maybe, you know, maybe they'll win me over with the writing and the character. So a couple of the jokes were not too bad. Like, it seemed like kind of okay writing. So I don't know. I've got higher hopes for this one than I did for the Avengers game, based purely on that, you know, it's going to be a single player narrative driven third person action game. It should be something that I'm all on board with. But yeah, it's a wait and see. It's coming out pretty soon, October 26th. So I don't know, get to play it in a few months' time, or I'll be picking it up, and I'll let everyone know what I think. Do you reckon you'll grab it, Paul?
It is one of the type of games where I'm more or less wait and see what everyone else has to say about it first.
Yeah, it could be a disaster. It could be Avengers again. You know, I don't. It hasn't got that live service side, so I don't think it's going to be that level of disaster if it isn't good. But yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
It could be.
Yeah,
shit.
Square Enix is definitely one of the publishers that are more wary to just watch out for. Like, sure, they publish one of my favorite games, Final Fantasy VII, and all that stuff, and I am worried for the future. I do have concerns for the future of that series, but mm-hmm. You know, it is definitely one of those publishers that I keep an eye on, and I don't just automatically jump straight at it unless it's Final Fantasy VII. Anyway.
Oh, God. But yeah, I guess that's all I have to say about that Guardians game. Meh. We'll see what happens.
Right. That was a lot of talk for the Guardians Galaxy.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was surprised. But yeah, that's all that I really cared about from the Square show. Then they had the Microsoft show. It's got Bethesda in there too. Yeah, they got all the games. And Halo Infinite, we got, you know, a bit more look at, you know, sort of a story snippet or something like that. It was just sort of Master Chief jumping through space and talking, and I don't know, it was didn't get me hyped. But multiplayer is going to be free.
Is it multiplayer always free?
No. It's like you'll be able to. You don't. If you want to, you can buy Halo Infinite to play the story. But if you want to just play Halo Infinite multiplayer, just like in like how Call of Duty does with Warzone, you can jump in there for free.
So that means it's going to be filled with microtransactions then.
Probably. This is Microsoft's. They've got micro in the name.
that's the only reason I really don't like Microsoft's exclusives is generally because when they do them, it's filled with microtransactions that are really, like, quite bad. Where usually the PlayStation exclusives, I can usually get, like, I can go with it. And they might have, one or two, but generally, yeah. It's usually, they're really, really good. They don't have many microtransactions compared to the Microsoft ones. But anyway, at the very least, they bring everything to PC. So at least I don't have to, I have access to all their games. So that's fantastic.
yeah, totally.
Anyway.
Yeah, free. Like microtransaction soft. Has that joke already been made? Probably.
Yeah, probably. We'll see where it goes. I haven't liked Halo really since the Studio 343 Industries, I believe it is, took over from Bungie. So, like, I've played all of them except for 5. Halo 5 I didn't play because it was very much... insert OC character here. He beats up original character. They go, look how strong our OC is. And one of the lines from the studio, which is really funny because they made Halo 4. So it's like, but one of the lines from one of the studio heads said, oh, we didn't think people would be that upset about it because, like Master Chief's not even the main character. Someone's like, what? Someone's like, he's been the main character for... Anyway, I'll leave it there. It's like...
I got to say, that was probably a good idea because every word I heard Master Chief say, I got more bored during that little story trailer that they showed. It got the most generic voice acting and writing for him. It's awful. It's one of those games where they're going to make everyone else around him have the personality. It's like, just make him silent at that point. Like, what's the fucking point? It's like Link. Yeah. Like, you know, don't give Link a voice. Don't give Zelda a voice unless you want to give him good voice acting. God, that was awful. Oh, Breath of the Wild jab.
Yeah, I don't like, yeah. As much as I love Breath of the Wild, I don't like the voice acting.
It's awful, so awful. And hopefully the voice acting won't be awful in this game. Another Xbox exclusive, Starfield. We had a trailer for it, and we know now it's going to be exclusive to Microsoft systems, so either on the PC or the Xbox. And it's coming out November 11th. 2022, over a year away.
So quite a long time.
Yeah. Holy shit. I don't know why they have made this massive runtime on this, like as far as their marketing is concerned. Like when did they announce it? Was it last year or the year before?
They announced it quite a while. They announced it quite a while ago. I don't remember the exact date, but but yeah, it's going to be running on their new engine, so hopefully it looks better than their past titles that have been running on this ancient engine.
Thank God.
And I'm hoping, like, I know lots of people hate the word exclusive. My take on exclusives generally, like, it's not always this way, but my take on exclusives is it's usually better for the developers because they then only have to focus on one system. Because it's not as simple as, like, PlayStation and Microsoft consoles aren't the same. They require different development time, different coding, all that type of stuff. I'm not an expert on that type of stuff, but my point is that extra time and resources required to make for other systems. Like, look at Cyberpunk 2077 is one of the best examples. They spread themselves so thin. Like, they had lots of other issues, but they could have sat down and focused on fixing a lot more things earlier if they didn't have to try to fix a PlayStation 4 version, Xbox One version. If they were just, like, let's say if they just focused solely on PC, that game probably would have come out a lot better. And then maybe focus later on doing ports later. So it's usually better if you're going to have a multi-platform game is focus on one, get out on one system, and then focus on doing ports later so you can optimize them. That can also, once again, it's potentially, but it can help reduce crunch on developers as well.
Yeah.
Because, once again, that's less work that they have to do trying to make different versions of the game to run on different systems. So it doesn't bother me that Starfield is exclusive to the Microsoft store, and I hope the game is better for it. It's not a guarantee, but we'll see.
Yeah, and I think, like, you make a lot of good points there, and I think also, you know, because just like with Sony with their exclusives, their name and their brand are attached to these now, like these studios that they own now. So it's in their best interest to keep fucking throwing money and resources at them until they can come up with something amazing, because at the end of the day, like, yes, they want to make money off the games, but the main thing they want those games to do is to sell you their system and to sell you their ecosystem. So Xbox are saying, we want you to buy a fucking Game Pass, and Sony are like, we want you to buy a fucking PlayStation 5. And when you got the good exclusives there, like there's not a ton in here that I'm super excited about, but like there's things now that I'm seeing pop up in the Xbox exclusive ecosystem that are making me think, ooh, I wouldn't mind fucking, you know, seeing if I can get xCloud running well so I can play Starfield when it comes out. That'd be amazing. Yeah. Or even consider maybe getting a Series X at some point. Holy shit, I haven't considered ever in my life getting an Xbox, so that's crazy.
Yeah, it's interesting because we've got two companies taking two different approaches with this, where you got Microsoft doing the Game Pass, like they're doing really like, in my opinion, at the moment, until, you know, later on, it's like very much quantity over quality. And like I said, the quality part is debatable because everyone has different tastes and stuff. But like, in comparison to what Sony's doing, where they're throwing lots of money into these very big cinematic, like gorgeous looking games, which so far all of them are always usually hitting home runs. So yeah, that's definitely two different takes. And it's interesting. I think it's cool seeing the companies do two different things. And we'll see which one really succeeds in the end of the day and see which one works.
Man, at the moment, I feel like Microsoft are the ones who are making all the smart moves. Like, Game Pass is genius. And like, we haven't got to the end of this list of all these exclusives they got coming out, but it's like something like, it was like 27 out of the 29 games they showed or something ridiculous like that are all available day one on Game Pass. Like, you can essentially, like, most games don't take you an entire month to complete. You can essentially play these games for like $30 and then you don't have to, or whatever the price is of Game Pass, and then you don't have to renew. Or they even have deals if it's your first time trying it, where it's like $1 for 3 months or something stupid like that, or $1 a month for 3 months just to try it, and then you got all these games that you're... It's ridiculous value.
It's
something that Sony just needs to catch up with. Like, they need some kind of... They need to bring PS Now to Australia and make it and make it actually worthwhile getting as well too, because Xbox is definitely leaps and bounds ahead of that at the moment. Paul, did you watch the Outer Worlds 2 reveal trailer?
No.
Oh, no. Dude. Okay, you have to watch the Outer Worlds 2 reveal trailer. It is fucking hilarious. If you're a fan of like Devolver and stuff like that, it's basically just poking fun at game reveal trailers. Like, at one point, the narrator even says, you know, epic mwah sound to make you feel like something's, you know, something epic's happening, and they play the mwah sound in the background. It was just fucking great. You know, soldiers moving in slow motion to make you feel like everything's epic, and, you know, soldiers, it was just perfect, and it just made fun of reveal trailers in general, and just... It basically pointed out, you know, everything that we all think about reveal trailers. Like, wait till you have some gameplay to show. That's what we want to see. Did you play the first Outer Worlds, Paul?
I did, but I never finished it. I lost interest partway.
Fair. How about the original Psychonauts? That's going back now.
I never played it. I've bought it. And it's on my PC, just sitting there waiting for me to eventually crack it open. Because when I heard Psychonauts 2, I went, I remember Psychonauts. I've heard a lot about that. I should go play that. And it's just sitting there on my computer to never play. Which I think that's on Game Pass now, the original one. So you now go get that for cheap.
Yeah, I believe it came out like in the 2000s, I believe, and it was like an Xbox exclusive, and it did very poorly. But it was like a cult classic hit, and, you know, Tim Schafer's got to make another one now. And like, did you watch the trailer for the gameplay trailer for the second one? It looks really pretty.
Yeah, I did. It looks good. It has like Double Fine sort of unique character designs on it. And sticking with the Psychonauts of diving into mines, you're gonna have some psychedelic, crazy world designs and stuff. So it should be a fun game to jump into, at least.
Oh, it looks like a gorgeous platformer. Those world designs, as you just said, they look so cool. And another one I'm jealous of. Like, what a year for platformers this year. I've It Takes Two has been one of my favorite games this year so far. And then Ratchet and Clank as well. Fucking,
I love my platformers. I haven't played It Takes Two, but I do love my 2D platformers, 3D. Mascot platformers. I love those type of games. So, yeah, I'll probably definitely be picking this up, even if I don't end up playing the original one.
Oh, damn. Yeah, no, I'm very curious about this one. That's for sure. August 26th is coming. So, yeah, get excited, people, if you have a PC or an Xbox. Another one that... I don't know if this one was a... exclusive to Xbox, but it was announced during their event. Plague Tale Requiem is coming in 2022. So the sequel to A Plague's Tale Innocence. Fantastic story about Amicia, I think her name was. And what was her brother's name? I can't remember, but it's a tale of during the time when the plague was affecting like medieval, was it England or France? God, it's been a while since I played it, but it was such a fun narrative driven sort of action adventure game. I really enjoyed it. It was good. Did you play the first Plague Tale?
No, unfortunately, that's another one that's on the list to-do list. Because I heard like lots of good things about it, so it's on that to-do list, but it just so far I haven't gone around to it. And I think that's another one that's also now available on Game Pass recently.
Yeah, there you go. Another day one. Oh, okay,
I'm gonna check that one right now. Like the original one, I mean. So,
oh, okay, yeah.
So I have no real excuse not to play it. But yeah,
dude, I very much recommend checking it out. It's only about like a 10 to 12 hour experience. It's the perfect length for a narrative. It reminded me of playing like an old Uncharted. It was great. It was really good. Really bloody good. But yeah, that was it for Microsoft. And I got, out of all the different conferences, I dare say they were ones who came out firing on all cylinders the most. And I think the biggest winner, as I said before, is Game Pass. Most of this stuff is all coming to Game Pass day one. What do you think of Microsoft's showing overall, Paul?
Not bad. It's good. Like, in comparison to a lot of the other stuff, that's just been very... It's like, we don't really have anything to announce. Sorry. it's E3, so we had to put together something. So, like, Capcom, where it's like, Resident Evil 8 and Monster Hunter, like, I know this is the only thing... So, like, they had one good thing where it's like, this Ace Attorney game that never released in the West, take it. It's like, yay! Cool. That was, like, one thing you really had up. Like, I love those other games, but, I have them already. I've finished them. But anyway.
That all sounds better than, apparently, Take-Two Interactive. Their E3 conference was just, like, a Zoom meeting about, like, company policy and stuff like that.
From some mates on my podcast, they want to hear more companies talk about their policies at E3.
Okay,
mainly like Ubisoft with their how they conduct themselves in their we all know what Ubisoft does.
Oh, speaking of Ubisoft, they're people who should probably have a E3 presence that's just a Zoom meeting about what they're doing to fix up all the terrible shit that we found out about last year.
Yeah,
Yves Guillemot is not a very good CEO, allegedly, because he either knew what was going on and didn't do anything about it, or he was ignorant to it, and should be probably fired because he was like so incompetent in that sense. Allegedly, based on reporting out there done by loads of other people. Anyway, that out of the road, they had a E3 presence. And they had a few things to talk about. There wasn't a lot there that got me excited. Mario Plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope. It's a sequel to the first Mario Plus Rabbids game.
Which is a really good game. It's a very good tactical game. I enjoyed it. So I'm happy that they are continuing it. It's a good series. And they actually showed more gameplay in the Nintendo E3 Direct. Okay. So they showed off that they're trying out... free running around, because usually it's XCOM style tactics where you move square by square and you have a certain amount of squares to run before you stop moving during your turn. They showed off that you'd be able to run around in a certain amount of space, so I don't know if they go, okay, during your turn you have free run around all this area. So like I said, it's just so far we've only seen the gameplay trailer, and I haven't watched. I don't know if they showed off their treehouse where they show gameplay or stuff there, but yeah, it looks interesting. They're introducing like more rabbits and more characters and more weapons, so it's your typical next sequel, like add more stuff to it. So yeah, cool. I'm glad to see it's one of the better franchises that are coming out Ubisoft, something different and unique with their mix with Nintendo and stuff. So yeah.
Well, color me intrigued, sugar. Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those ones, mate. I've been trying a lot more games that I wouldn't normally try, like Hades, and I really enjoyed that, and Returnal, and even though I've put down that for the moment, I did have a lot of fun with Returnal. Like, Returnal is great. I'm looking forward to getting back to it when they put save files in there. But
what do you mean? It automatically saves everything.
Yeah, yeah, okay, all right. yeah, like, I don't know. Would you say that if I'm going to get into a tactic-style game, this is a good one to try it out with? The original Mario plus Rabbids?
Yeah, well, it's definitely, like, compared to, like, XCOM and all that stuff, like, it's Nintendo, so it's definitely going to be a bit easier to swallow. I don't want to say, like... It's baby's game, like tactical shooter. No, it's a fun tactical shooter.
Google
it's
Gaga tactics, yay.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to say that. It's just it's a lot simplified and like just fun of like more fun version of where like XCOM, you can run up with a 99% chance to hit this alien and go bang and it's like miss and like oh.
Well, that sounds good to me because I'm a simple boy, so I'm down. Now, they also showed Riders Republic. That's coming September 2nd, 2021. I don't even know why I put this one in the dock.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a you're riding on BMXs and all kinds of other vehicles down hills on dirt and pavement and stuff. I don't know. It's coming out September 2nd, 2021. I don't know. It looks like it could be like a bit of stupid fun, but I don't know. I played Steep and I thought that was boring as shit, so the big wait and see. And then, you know, speaking of something that I thought looked boring as shit, they showed off their big, like, you know, them blowing their load at the end of their show. their big finish was the Avatar game. It's been developed by Ubisoft Massive, and basically they showed a bunch of scenery and a bunch of soldiers. That was about it. So, yeah, it seems like they're like, oh, we got an Avatar game, and it just has no story whatsoever. It's just Avatar, and you play the Avatar.
Yeah. Like, this is obviously, like, they're designing this to come up with, to go alongside the upcoming film I think they're doing.
Mm.
They're doing Avatar 2, whatever. Yeah. But at least in video game universe, you can get away with names like Unitanium.
You think about
Ratchet and Clank, the crystals. What are they called?
Raritanium.
Raritanium. So,
like, even that's better. That's cleverer than unobtanium. Like, Raritanium sounds so much better. I've got a feeling because it is Ubisoft Massive who are the developers behind the Division games. Big guess that this could be a live service game, and that's why they have not mentioned anything about story in this trailer, because there's not going to be any story, you know, because it's a live service game. They just tack on the most loose excuse for a story they possibly can to give you a reason just to go in shooting and doing the same thing over and over again. So, I don't know, expect we could end up getting, yeah, some kind of live service Avatar game. They haven't said it's going to be that yet, I don't think, but, you know, I don't have a lot of... hope for that one there. Oh, but hopefully you're going to have some hope now, Paul, because we'll talk about some Nintendo. And they finally did it. They showed Breath of the Wild 2. Or whatever. They don't say what it's called. They haven't said exactly when it's coming. It's going to be 2022. But they showed us some of it. And it looks like you're in the sky a lot, you know, which, you know, to be honest, one of the funnest things I liked about Breath of the Wild was the gliding. Yeah, I know why I found it fun to glide around different places. And it looks like they're doubling down on that. We're going to be spending a lot more time in the air and there's going to be fucking shit up in the clouds. Yeah.
They showed off a few, like, new abilities. Like, they didn't outright, like, go, these are new abilities. But they showed off, like, some... stuff like it looks like there's
ability
might be some,
one,
yeah. It's like they showed some, like, well, it looks like one of them it might be time reversal, maybe because it shows like some metal balls falling down a cliff and then they start reversing back up. Some stuff with phasing through a wall at one point. Link has definitely more of a caveman look, his hair's all out flowing. but yeah, so not a lot of details yet coming out.
Sexy, rugged Link, hey.
Yeah, I think that has something like he has some sort of new gauntlet on his arm that might be important. But yeah, it's like honestly, like I still want to be able to play Zelda at some point. So it's like, when I saw the original trailer, I was like hoping it's like, oh, we get to maybe play as her. Like, I really like, because I like sort of the world they sort of built up with Breath of the Wild. And I was hoping that they would expand more upon it with the. Calamity. Game that
Age of Calamity
Age of Calamity game
Hyrule Warriors
the Hyrule Warriors one But when they did the whole, like, this timeline doesn't really matter because we're changing things, I was like, oh, I really want them to explore the actual timeline. But anyway, because, yeah, there's some really interesting things there that they implemented in Breath of the Wild where they go, like, they sort of explain why Link is a side protagonist. In one of the Zelda's journals, they explain how, like, he's silent because, like, he's... like, he's under, like, so much pressure of being the hero of, like, it's not hero of time, it's hero of whatever. I don't know what the hero is called in this timeline, but, yeah, like, he's just more or less, he just shuts up and goes forward and deals with all the pressure in that way. And, yeah, he's just a very silent person. And I love how Zelda in the game is also portrayed as being, like, also, like, her struggling with her powers and not being able to get them and how she has interest in the technology, not just the whole religion and light stuff. So I've really liked like what they were doing with the characters, but I'm just afraid that Nintendo's too afraid to delve into some of those darker topics that they sort of hinted at.
Mm.
Like I said, it had to be in the sort of background. You had to really read into it to find that type of stuff in the original game. So, but yeah, no, I have high hopes, and at the very least, it should still be fun because one of the best things about Breath of the Wild was. You go into like the game and you know, if you ask the game, can I do this? Majority of the time it will say, yes, you can do this. You can cut down this tree to make a bridge across the way. Yeah, you can climb up this cliff if you have enough determination.
Look, there's just two things I'd like them to fix, or actually three things. Like one, that just remove the voice acting or just improve it. Two, that stone fucking tablet that he carries around, like the stone iPad, the magical stone iPad that has abilities. Like, why'd it have to be a magical stone iPad? It could have been anything. It just looks so weird, like him holding that to do.
The whole thing is, what it's supposed to look like the Wii U pad. And then they update, like, then it's like, oh, it looks like a Switch as well. So,
yeah,
no. Yeah, that was the whole idea. It was supposed to look like that.
I don't know. I thought it looked dumb. And then weapon degradation. Get rid of that. That'd be good as well too. And then I'll give it fucking 10 out of 10 day one after playing 5 minutes if they fix all those things.
Yeah, I'm on the opposite side with the weapon degradation. I can go with maybe make him last a little bit longer, but I like the weapon degradation system because it forced me to use other weapons.
Oh, I wonder if maybe we can use that reverse technique to stop our weapons from degrading. Just every time we use them, we just reverse time, we get our weapon back again. Hey, yeah. I can see that being
like
fun,
maybe have a repair system instead, where it's like they last a bit longer, but they do still break, and then you go to a place to repair them. But still, like that took away, like I guess that would, like in the original Breath of the Wild, that'll take away from the exploration where you had to still go and collect weapons from other places. So because that's what I was doing, I was like, "Oh, mark this map where," like mark the map where it's like, "Oh, this has a really good weapon there, has a really good weapon there." So whenever I was like, "Oh, I'm out of stock," it's like go back and hunt more weapons. So yeah, like I said, it really depends on like the type of gamer you are. And for me, it's like having or like weapons break constantly. I always had to think of what weapons to use on what enemies, and then yeah, mark it down on the map. I was like, where the best weapons are, so I can go and recollect them when I need to. So yeah, it really depends on what type of game you are.
Yeah, no, like all that stuff just sounds so tedious to me. It's like I can't. It's like I want to. If I find a weapon, it's like I want the weapon.
Yeah, because that's my problem. Like, if I got a weapon that I like say, yeah, you got the Master Sword or whatever, straight away I was like, well, I'm using this for the rest of the game, and all those other weapons I'll never ever use again. So that's why I was like, oh, I don't mind it, because like, yeah, even the Master Sword, at least like that doesn't break. So like it'll go on a cooldown, so it's like it still forces me to go and use other weapons. So I was like, oh, yeah. I can't use this, I need to switch to one of my other weapons. And I'd love going into ice places, like put my fire sword in my back. There again, that'll keep me warm.
Yeah, I don't know. I much prefer like how Monster Hunter does it, where like they make the other weapons just so much fun to play and experiment with that you want to play it, not that you're just forced to have to do it. But
well, yeah, well, there's another way they can go. They can just go the old sort of Legend of Zelda route, where it's like they have these weapons with very unique styles to them, and like yeah, and you only get those certain amounts, so they can still go down that route. So I'm not totally against Like, they've developed the game around doing it that way, then yeah, that's fine. I'm more than happy to. But I still, like, I'll defend the way they did, because they designed it that way, and it works the way that I believe they intended to work. And obviously, we've seen the discourse when the game came out, like, it had people on both sides. So clearly there are people that liked that style.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. So, now, in the notes here, Paul, you mentioned that this needs more hype. This whole Nintendo section needs more hype. So do you want to announce the next game on the list there for us from Nintendo's showing?
Well, let's go through this whole thing because, for me, Nintendo really won it over, and just Nintendo holds hostage to a lot of my favorite characters. So, but no, let's quickly go over this because you entered Smash. So did you see the real reveal trailer for Kazuya?
I saw bits and pieces of it, and I thought it was funny. Yeah, it's cool.
It's hilarious as all hell, where he's tossing all the characters of Smash over the cliff. If you don't know Tekken, Kazuya's family is known for throwing their family members off a cliff. So it's like into a volcano. Like they've done that. Like originally, it's like throw them off a cliff. And eventually end up like going to the volcano and stuff. And yeah, it's hilarious just watching him throw every Smash character off the cliff. I love the way he threw the Spring Boy, I think it is, from the punching game from Switch. What was it called?
Arms.
Spring arms. Something.
Arms. Isn't it?
Arms. That's it. That's it. The boxing character with spring arms. But yeah, just funny where it throws, and the arm is still attached to the cliff, so he has to kick it off and goes, thing.
I like Kirby too. Kirby just he's looking over the edge, and Kirby just like quietly flies off in the background.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's fantastic. Super cute.
Cool idea.
And yeah, and just, it's such an amazing time to be like around. Like Smash has Ryu, Terry Bogard, Kazuya, like Ken, like they've got all these fighting game characters in this one place now. Like, and it's strange. It's in this Nintendo game. Like, this Nintendo game has, it's such an amazing thing to see. So fantastic. It's just a shame that it has terrible internet connection. Otherwise, I would be playing it so much more. I'd love it.
How much would it cost? Like, is it like the new characters intrigue me, but the thing I don't like about the modern fighting games is basically you get your base set of characters, which I think Nintendo already gave us a ton. It was like seventy something characters. It was fantastic. But I just the nickel and diming afterwards for all the extra characters are just it's a pain in the ass. Can you buy like just a season pass and just get all the characters?
Most fighting games now will come with a season pass, so you can pay one large sum and you'll get all the characters that come out that season. Or you can buy. Usually, you can buy them separate if you really just want to be that picky and just pick up characters that you only want. For Nintendo's, for Smash Bros. Ultimate, I think they do it really well because for the price, you get the character, you get new stages, and you get their music from their game as well. So you usually get a ton of content with that character compared to some other fighting games where you might just only get the character.
Yeah.
And like still, some colors.
I think I'd still be stoked to buy. I'd buy it one day if I end up getting my own Switch, because now my housemate this weekend, he's moved out. So farewell to him. He was such an awesome housemate. But one of the really cool things about him is he let me borrow his Switch all the time. So I don't know whenever the Switch Pro finally does come out, if I have the money at the time to be able to get my hands onto that one. And I'll look forward to a Smash Brothers Ultimate Deluxe version that has all the DLC characters as well.
If you ever want to play Smash, I'm more than happy to come over because I'm always looking for people to play because I have no one to play with. And as I said, the internet sucks.
I'm sure you're really good at Smash, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, but it's supposed to be like it's just a fun party game. Like, I'm good, but...
See, so that's the same thing Lockie said to me, and then he would just, like, fucking juggle me for 10 minutes. And like, man, this just isn't fun.
I should play with Lockie then, okay.
You and Lockie would definitely have a good match. Lockie kicks ass. I'm terrible at Smash. I'm just smashing them buttons. But anyway, what else got you hyped about Nintendo's presentation?
So we finally got the next Metroid game coming out. Finally, after years, the last game they released in the Metroid franchise was on the 3DS. And it was a remake of Metroid 2,
mm-hmm.
which was a really good game. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, I love the Metroid series. I'm so happy we're getting a new one. This is Metroid Dread, which, funny enough, Dread was teased like 15 years ago in another game. Something like that. So yeah, that's how long this has sort of been in. It's like, oh, can we do the blah, blah, blah? Yeah. And it's looks like it's made by the same people that did the 3DS remake. Because like it's a 2D side-scroller again with a lot better graphics than the 3DS because it's on the Switch. And I could definitely see, like, it's using some of their stuff that they made, that they did in the remake, where they gave Samus a counter ability. So if an enemy comes and does a melee attack, she can counter by doing a melee attack, and then they'll get pushed back, and then she can fire back at them with her cannon, arm cannon. But this one seems like they're giving you an antagonist, like this sort of robot that looks like it's invincible. From what the trailer and some of the gameplay they showed off, where you have probably similar probably to what Metroid Fusion did, where they had Parasite X tech over Samus's armor and hunt you down throughout the whole game, where you couldn't hurt it at all, so you had to hide from it. So probably doing a similar thing here, where they had this giant robot chasing you and you can't kill it, so you have to run, hide, and like you got that type of situation. So
Lady Dimitrescu, they're putting.
So I'm very hyped. I'm definitely gonna be buying that. I'm so happy, and Metroid Prime 4 is somewhere in development hell still.
Okay, so now at any point do you get to see Samus in a bikini?
I don't think she's really been shown in a bikini much in the recent games. Like at the most you see her in a Zero Suit form.
Okay, I couldn't believe it. Like, wasn't it like in the original Metroid that like if you finish the game without dying or something like that, or I can't remember what it was, you see her in a bikini.
Yeah, it's my usually to do with your completion rating and your timing. It's like the game.
Was that the 80s? Or that the 90s?
I'm gonna say 80s. Like it was on the original NES. And the thing is, you know, at the time, like that was a massive reveal where it's like you've been playing as a woman the whole time. Suck it! It's like, oh shit.
And then
they went and sexualized and like it's like, oh okay, cool. But
yeah, because they did it without that, like, as they showed her having the long hair at the end, like just normal completion, right? But then you complete it, you get to see even more of that. What the fuck?
So Samus has really definitely been that like original video game heroine. She's the original OG.
As in, like, you just want to keep injecting her into your veins and
like,
you're addicted to the gameplay.
Samus is really good. And like, Other M had some issues with Adam, and that's what it's called. Where, like, Adam is a character returning back in this game, and Nintendo's going, don't worry, he's not going to order you around like they did in Other M. Because the problem with Other M is they had moments where, like, which in a sense makes sense a little bit in the storyline, because she, like, Adam was her commanding officer when she was in the military. So when she's come on to the ship as a bounty hunter, and he's there, he's like, while you're here, follow my orders, so you know we get along type thing. And it's like, well, it's like, as our respect, I'll do that. It just gets dumb when she walks into this hostile environment where there's lots of fire and she's burning, and she has to wait for him to go, I authorize you to allow to put on your variant suit so you can resist the heat. I was like, why did I need permission to use my heat-resistant shields? It's like, as soon as I walked in this area, I should have turned them on. So that was the only, like, really the biggest issue with that, with Adam. But yeah, they said he won't be ordering you around in the new one, so don't worry about that. I was like, oh, good.
Well, you need the man to tell you what to do, just in case it's not a good idea.
that's the biggest problem. Like, I
can't have
no
a think for herself. That's dangerous. A woman thinking for herself. Oh, no.
I know. It's so stupid. Like I said, I had no issue with the whole like storyline reasonings, but it's like, as soon as it's like, her door walking, I'm burning. It's like, oh, I can't. Yeah, I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, God. Far out. Metroid sounds interesting. Hopefully I'll have a Switch and I can actually play it when it comes out, but who bloody knows? So nothing about a release date though yet.
No, it's coming out. So I didn't write down the release date, but yeah, I believe it's coming out this year. I think it was August, October or something. Cause I remember people get confused because of how America does their dates. Sorry, I can't find exactly where it is. I apologize.
Ah, it's all good. It's coming, people. Sometime this year. Get excited if you're into that stuff. I reckon Lockie would be into this for sure. So you'd probably be excited about this one. Suck shit. You're missing out, Lockie.
Oh, wait, here it is. No, never mind. I'm an idiot. Anyway, continue on.
Tell me about some Advance Wars.
So Advance Wars is a sort of another tactics war game. Similar, I guess. Like, I wanted to say Command & Conquer, but this is turn-based tactics game. So, like, sort of like how we're talking about, like, Final Fantasy Tactics, or it's like a little bit like XCOM, but more like anime military with tanks and stuff. They were originally on the Game Boy Advance, I believe. Played these back in the day. Lots of fun. You know, silly anime powers, like they have the commanders that you play as. They can have special powers where they can do, like, repair your units, or have airstrikes, or do other special abilities. But yeah, they're remastering it, and when I say remaster, it says, like, they're rebuilding it pretty much from the ground up with new, like, graphics and art style and stuff. And it's now been developed by WayForward Studios, known for games like Shantae, DuckTales Remastered, and River City Girls, which... This studio is really well known, having like some really nice, like I jump into them because I love their anime style of their graphics and stuff. If you ever go look at one of the Shantae trailers, I think they're for the recent one. They actually got Studio Bones, which is an anime studio that does My Hero Academia and stuff. They got them to do the intro to their game. And yeah,
Half Genie Hero.
Let me just have a look because it'll probably pop up instantly on my. on my YouTube.
Oh, yeah, wow. That's very pretty.
Siren's trailer. No? Is it Siren's trailer?
No, I found it. It says WayForward, Shantae Half Genie Hero.
Yeah.
Seen this before.
Yeah, it's the opening. But yeah, so they had, like, Studio Bones did the opening for the Seven Sirens Shantae game.
Okay, pretty.
And yeah, they have, like, the studio is very well known for, like, now, for having sort of, like, this anime sort of, like, very good cartoon look to it. And yeah, you can definitely see in the Advance Wars, this one they're doing now. Like, it looks so good, the animation they have for the commanders when they're doing their special abilities and when they're having the fights and stuff. It looks really nice now. So I'm like, ooh, that's really nice. So yeah. And River City Girls 2 has been announced for 2022. So hyped about that. River City Girls is one of those side-scrolling fighting games. I'm trying to think of some of the other games that are like that. Streets of Rage, I think.
Old-school brawler or whatever.
Old-school brawler, but they have a bit more fighting game mechanics into it. So you can do combos and stuff into it.
Okay.
And it follows, like, as the name says... The girls are the protagonist, saving the boys. So they sort of flip it a little bit there. And it's a really good game. I highly recommend River City Girls. And yeah, so River City Girls 2. Woo! Anyway. Nice. Yeah, I like WayForward Studios. Like some of their stuff. It's really funny, Shantae's history. Because Shantae was just a Game Boy game that no one really knew of. And it's just that series that somehow, it just in the background, just stayed relevant somehow. Like, even though it wasn't popular, it just kept getting games and games, and now it's here, and, like, it's still going. It's amazing. It's just one of those games that's, like, it's persevered through just sheer determination. It's like... Anyway.
Check it out, people. You play a genie, I think.
Yeah.
And it's anime-looking.
Yeah, lots of games to dive into if you really want to dive into that. It's a sort of Metroidvania style type game as well. The Shantae games, like, gave power to gain access to other areas and stuff. Anyway, Mario Party Superstars got announced, and for me, this is Nintendo basically going, we give up, we can't seem to do a good Mario Party, so here's all the old stuff. It's like, we've remastered the old stuff, just take it, we give up. We can't make a good Mario Party.
I dare say, Lockie will be pumped about this one. A complaint about the most recent Mario Party he's had is he just wants more maps. He just wants more. He said, he doesn't care if he has to pay for it. He's like, Nintendo, just give me more. And it sounds like, okay, Nintendo's just going, all right, you just have all the old ones, all the ones you love. And that's fantastic. How many maps do you think there'd be?
I have no idea. They showed off a few, I think 3 or 4, but... It's I'm not an expert on the Mario Party, franchise. I know that, I remember playing them and, having a whole bird to my hand from the Nintendo 64 controller.
Oh, yeah.
That
was lethal.
Yeah, well, they actually got, I think, sued for that, and they had to send out gloves to everyone that bought the game. So, there's a funny
little bit
of history.
I'm sure those gloves are worth a fucking fortune nowadays or something. Oh, my God. Oh, so, that's classic.
So, yeah, there's a little bit of interesting history for you for that.
Get ready to fuck up your controllers, everybody.
From what I heard, though, from what it says, it's going to come out with, online play straight away. And I think they're going to say, if you have the choice, if you go and jump on, play single player, you can have the option to have random online people just jump, be a part of your game. So you can have, you get set up to get random online people play with. So, it could help. Because that's always sort of the problem, especially in this time where it's everyone plays from their home and for adults, we don't get together that much. So having the option to play online is great. Cool. And then the last one that we'll talk about is WarioWare. Have you ever played a WarioWare game?
I did on the Wii. Yeah, it's a bunch of fun mini games. It's dumb fun for sure.
Yeah. And that's what I like. It's a lot of dumb fun.
Polished. Those mini games, some of them, the old motion controls didn't work the greatest. But the games always had that sort of Nintendo charm and polish to them, though, that's for sure.
Yeah. And it'll be fun. I do usually a lot of these mini game collection type games. I really would like to see, I want to see Rhythm Heaven. Have you ever seen those games?
No.
Rhythm Heaven is essentially once again, it's a bunch of, mini games, but they're done with timing with music and stuff.
Mm.
You should look up some of the YouTube videos, because lots of remixes and YouTube videos of these Rhythm Heaven games, and yeah, they're fantastic. And okay. I found them so hard to find. I think I eventually found one for the Wii or Wii U, which I have. But yeah, so that's... I'd actually like to see more of those games be available more easily.
Yeah, but yes. I hope it's not going to be a full price game. I imagine it's probably WarioWare games, I think, in the past have been a little bit cheaper than a standard Nintendo game, I think, right?
We'll see.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how much they put in there as well, too. Do they have a release date for it?
Coming
10th of September. Ooh, there you go. Think they were intentionally avoiding a certain date there. Cutting it awfully close. I wonder if that was I'm double checking. Oh no, that's a Friday. Yeah, they normally release games on a Friday. I wonder if the 11th had fallen on the Friday, if they still would have released it then. I do not know.
Yeah,
WarioWare. Bloody, Nintendo people get excited. But that's it for our E3 coverage. I'll quickly mention, I saw there was the gameplay trailer for Kena Bridge of Spirits being made by an indie studio. They normally make I think they did advertisements and it's all, but all video, all CGI animated stuff. This is their first foray into games. The gameplay looks cool and it looks intriguing. But it's a big wait and see, especially after something like Biomutant. It's just, I don't know. You got to wait till these games come out. It's always a big question mark. But it looks intriguing, that's for sure. Check out the gameplay, Kena Bridge of Spirits, if you want to see a Pixar-ish looking indie game. Yeah, looks cool.
Yeah.
But yeah. E3, I think overall, pretty underwhelming. What do you think, Paul?
Yeah, as we said, Microsoft has some interesting stuff. Mm. Nintendo has some interesting stuff. It's really going to be based on your sort of how you like to play games and stuff. Yeah. But it's not like we had COVID in the last 2 years and been such a bad time for everyone. So it's amazing we got what we got, really.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I think I had my E3 a couple of weeks ago when I popped on your show and I got to talk about Dying Light gameplay Far Cry 6 gameplay and Horizon Zero Dawn gameplay. I think E3 just doesn't have the meaning that it used to because, you know, these developers aren't sitting around and waiting to E3 to release their shit, you know? Like, they're doing it when they want to because they can reach just as many people by releasing their own streams, just on their own videos and stuff straight onto YouTube, and they can sort of control how they do everything in that way. So I think E3 from now on, as long as developers keep, you know, spoon feeding us all the news over the year, I don't think we're going to see it be as big a deal anymore. I don't know. Maybe when they can go back to actual in person press conferences, things will change a bit. But right now, it's definitely not a comeback year for E3. I think that's for sure.
Yeah, for me, I think the Game Awards now are the better place to go get that type of stuff now.
Yeah, which is a shame because I'd like it to be about, like, the awards, but no, it's a fucking game trailer fucking show. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the Game Awards. I don't understand why they're trying to be the Oscars. Like, the Oscars aren't that great. The Oscars are failing. So why not try and be, like, the Game Awards? I guess they differ from the options as, you know, advertising upcoming video games, but I don't know. Anyway... E3, it's done. We'll review it again next year. Yeah. Hey, what review score would you give E3, Paul? We are on News to Reviews today.
Let's do, like, just a middling, and let's go about 6.
Yeah, I'm going to give it 3 E's out of 12 threes. Bloody wrap your mind around that.
So that's a very high score, 12 threes.
Because I'm making it out of how many E's out of threes. So really, it's 3 out of 12. But it's just, I made it really confusing. Anyway, you know what else is confusing? Why we haven't heard any more about a new PlayStation VR headset. It's been years now since Sony released the last one, but there was some just random article in some tech magazine saying, yeah, it's the new Sony VR headset's coming next year in late 2022. It's like, oh, okay, awesome. I'm glad to see Sony is so excited about this product and can't wait to show it off to us. But hey, yeah, new PSVR possibly coming. Pretty cool. But
yeah,
what is far more interesting is the story that you found around VR, Paul.
Yeah, tell us about it. We all know that the Oculus Quest 2 came out a little while ago, and it's a really good price for a really good piece of technology. It was like $600, and it's this VR headset that's wireless, has like middling graphics, like it's that middle of the road tech, but it has like tracking within the headset, so you don't have to put any base stations up or anything. So really good tech. But then, like, they sort of ruined it by, you have to have a Facebook account attached to it. You cannot play it. You would have a brick system if your account ever got blocked, or you can't use it without a Facebook account, essentially.
Fucking nuts.
And now we can see why, because now Oculus and Facebook are now testing. They're going to start adding ads to their games. And these ads will be, just like Facebook is, it will be marketed directly to you using your data, which they've come out and says, oh, don't worry, we won't be using your age, height, weight, or gender to, you know, market this, just your habits on how you use your Oculus Quest. So what games and apps have you been using on your Quest? Oh, well, then you might like this app and things, and they'll advertise it to you in your game. And you'd be like, I paid $600, like, Australian dollars for this piece of hardware and probably another $50+ for this game, and I'm getting advertised to. What the fuck?
What does that mean? Like, when you say, like, is it going to just roll straight up ads, or are we going to have side banner ads? Like, we're there playing, like, fucking, you know, Half-Life Alyx, and then there on the left-hand side, it's like, you know, click here for, you know, to grow your hair back
I'm not 100% sure if they're going down what... Was it FIFA? I think they've been trying to do it. Why EA's games? One of their sports games, because that's where they test their money grubbing stuff. They always test it in their sports games, where they had
during loading screens.
During loading screens,
yeah.
So they might be doing that, or they might just have like, because I guess it's quite possible just to have like sort of an advertisement board in your game somewhere where it's just programmed to, oh, they can just set an update where we'll just play like a video of an ad. So as you're running around the game world, you'll just see a random ad playing in the background. That's gone. Like, it recently heard, I want to go to Japan. And suddenly it starts playing. It's like, here's a flight to Japan for only $200. Like, what?
It is like a marketer's wet dream. They have an advertising device that you strap to your face so they can beam this fucking shit into your brain. That is fucking nuts, man. That is so ridiculous. It's like that Black Mirror episode. I wonder if they're going to bring in that thing where, like, you know, maybe if you shut your eyes during the ads, like, an alarm goes off and it's like, open your eyes, you've got to continue watching the ad.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that Black Mirror episode. It's like that. You've got something you can't escape that's advertising to you. It's like that one little step away from Black Mirror. Oh, God. Gross.
So, I've never really quite liked Oculus because they're... Like, I know I talked about exclusives before, like how I feel about them, but with the VR spaces, it's so niche, and it's only really on the PC. It's only on the PC. It's not on, like, really other... Like, the only other system is Sony, which, you know, their next headset's coming next year, late sometime. So, yeah, there's no real good excuse for them to lock down games behind their store, which... As I said, because VR is such a niche market, like, you want to try and grow the player base, and having it locked away behind your, like, store is, like, I don't necessarily like that. And now I can see another reason why they're doing this, because they're probably get their develop, like, their games to start having ads to it, where, you know, these other, like, the other VR headsets which are open VR headsets, which will work on any system and store, yeah, clearly it's like, well, they don't. They probably don't care if you advertise in this stuff. That'll be up to the consumer, I guess. So I don't really like. I love the technology that they put into this Oculus Quest 2, but I don't like how they're handling it. And I was so tempted for ages to buy one when it came out, and when I heard it was connected to Facebook, I was like, I'll wait on it. And I'm so glad I did wait on it. So I will save my money now for the big expensive fuck off VR headset. That is now coming to Australia soon, which has been the Valve Index, which hasn't been available in Australia. It's coming to Australia. So if you want to spend like $1 billion, you can get that system. Because it's one of the top tier like VR headsets. So like it has the touchpad sort of controllers. Like I've used it at PAX a couple years ago. It's really nice. You can actually squeeze your hands and it'll react in the game and stuff as exactly how you're squeezing them. So it's really good, and you know, it's just top tier headset with really nice, like really nice display, crystal clear, all that type of stuff. Like I'm using my old HTC Vive, where I'm like, my PC is now super powerful, so I could definitely use one of the upgrades to my, so like it doesn't look as fuzzy when I'm playing with it. So but yeah, for now I'm still enjoying my little old HTC Vive. It's still puttering along. There we go. I've got the word. Puttering along. Anyway, yeah. I love my VR games. It's just... I wish I had more access to some of the stuff that was locked away behind some doors.
Which, yeah.
And like I said, yeah. I know I probably sound like a hypocrite with the exclusives, but yeah, to me, this is all on PC. It's my same argument with Epic and Steam, where Steam is very open and like, we don't care where you have your other games, where Epic's like, no! It's like, we hate monopolies, but we're going to have all these exclusives on our game, on our system as well. Yeah. Wow, I only just realized how hypocritical they are, where there's like, we hate monopolies, like Apple, but we're also going to pay, have all exclusives, all these exclusives on our store. Huh.
Oh, no, big corporation, hypocritical? No. I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway. They're standing up for the little guy, Epic. That's what they're doing. Yeah. Didn't you see that ad where they threw something at a TV and it was, you know? They're standing up that? For us. Yeah. The tone was that they're helping, so they probably are.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Well, we're about an hour and 10 minutes in. I've lost my faith in humanity. Usually happens at some stage throughout the episode. I think we did pretty good to make it an hour and 10 in before I finally did. But let's try and claw that back with the games that released in the last week. And I don't think I'll be able to because there was pretty much nothing. We had the Elder Scrolls Online console Enhanced Edition coming to PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. You'll be able to get the next-gen Elder Scrolls Online experience. Hurrah. And Red Solstice 2 Survivors came to PC. Yeah, I know nothing about that game. But also, yeah, there was not a lot that came out this week. How about we jump in to some game impressions? What do you think?
Impressions, eh?
So, Paul, you are our guest, and we did have an ulterior motive to invite you on the show. It was to talk about Guilty Gear Strive. Mate, how have you been enjoying it?
So, I've been having lots of fun. As I talked about on this show before, Guilty Gear Strive has some of the best netcode for a fighting game out there. So, I've been playing with other people from just around the world, and it feels like they're in the same room. It's fantastic.
Yeah, because you came on the show, oh God, it was like in February, I think.
Yeah.
It's like the start of this year is an absolute blur when they had the open beta. So,
yeah.
So how does it hold up compared to the state it was back then?
Yeah, so I'm still having lots of fun. I'd call myself more like a casual fighting game fan, though it's like you probably wouldn't say that if, like, looking at where I am in the tower of the game, but we'll get to that in a sec. But
okay.
But yeah, but I don't quite understand all the really deep mechanics that go into fighting games. But no, it's, I kind of lost my train of thought, but yeah, it's still from the beta. Like, I guess what I'm saying is from the beta, I'm not going to be able to tell all the differences they really made coming up to it. I've heard like lots of the actual like fighting game community talk about like the changes and stuff. So, like, Guilty Gear Strive is a simpler Guilty Gear game compared to their other ones. Like, they've simplified a lot of their mechanics and stuff. But from what I've been hearing, like, there's this sort of discourse at the moment where it's like, they simplified it too much, which hence game is bad. Because the reason why, like, a lot of fighting games, they try to simplify the game to bring in the casual audience to, because that fighting games have a struggle of getting the numbers up because it's like, typically a casual person, if they're going to buy a game, they'll play it, like a fighting game, they'll play it for a couple of minutes and go, is that it? And then they might drop it. Like, it's, you usually have to be quite hardcore to play it for hours and hours. Like, anyone else would sit there and go, the same game over and over again. Like, you're just fighting over and over again.
You're pretty much like, you sort of describe me, like, I pretty much will try all the characters, and if there's some kind of story, I'll play through the story. But then after that, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm done. I don't get into the online and all that stuff. It's just like those people all just fucking destroy me.
Yeah, so a lot of companies, fighting game companies, they try to simplify their game to the point where, so to bring in casual players so they have an easier time pick it up and play it.
Oh, yeah,
what they fail to realize is they'll still get matched up with those pros and get absolutely destroyed no matter how simplified the controls are.
Yeah.
Because the pros will always find those deep mechanics no matter what and find how to exploit and do whatever.
Yeah.
So no matter how simplified you make your fighting games, it's never going to work, unfortunately. It's not that situation of easy mode versus hard mode. It's just you're versing other people, you're going to have people that are better than you. But where Strive sort of succeeds in this, because they still have the sort of simplified fighting game, so it's easy to get into, so you feel good playing it at a casual level, so it still feels like you're doing something cool, so you still enjoy it at low levels. But how they set up the online system, which is the tower system, is you will always be playing with people around your skill level. Because how the tower system works in online is, like, you set up your matchmaking, you just go, okay, matchmake, you can jump into training mode while you're waiting for people to match up with, and the tower is this 10-level tower. Around 5 or 6 is about the average player, and basically, as you progress, like, you get better, you go up the tower. But as you go up the tower, you, as a better player, can't go down the tower. You cannot go any further down that tower, but as a player, if you're, say, down floor 1, you can, if you're crazy enough, you can jump all the way to floor 10 and fight people in floor 10.
Okay.
But floor 10 people can't go down. So that's where this game is succeeding.
Just like Batman.
Yeah. Sorry. So that's where this game is sort of succeeding, as it has, it's easy for casuals to jump in and feel good playing the game.
Okay.
But they also won't get matched up with stupidly powerful players that are like at the top tier.
Okay, that sounds really intriguing, and like for people who haven't heard that previous episode you were on, like for a casual like me, I just look at this game and I think, wow, this looks absolutely gorgeous. It looks like a very well animated anime in motion, but it's a fighting game, and they're the same developers behind Dragon Ball FighterZ, correct?
Yes,
which
yes,
that was gorgeous, like how they will take out some frames so it looks closer to the anime, like the way they animated the characters. I preferred the look of the game to the original Dragon Ball Z anime. It looked stunning. So, and Guilty Gear Strive is
yep.
in that same league. It looks absolutely gorgeous. Probably is, I'd say there's even more going on in Guilty Gear as far as the animation is concerned. Based on the brief stuff that I've seen, it's stunning.
Yeah, no, it's a fantastic looking game. It plays really well. Like I bought it on the PC, so I've got it there, and I've been playing it quite a bit. Like I'll probably try to get an hour or two in each day when I can. And I've been sitting around floor 8 at the moment, so I've been surprised where I've been sitting in the rankings.
Okay.
So yeah.
Is there a single player component?
So there is a single player component. So now that the game is fully released, we can now talk about that. I've had a little dive into that. So you have your typical training mode where you just jump in. You have your tutorial mode where it'll teach you more of the in-game mechanics. But you have your also mission mode where it'll take you through one by one, goes like, and where you have to actually complete 5 times a certain thing. So it'll go, okay, like early on it'll go dash 5 times. Okay, you completed that. Okay, do punch 5 times. As it progresses, it goes, okay, do a Roman cancel 5 times. Roman cancel is a game mechanic which has changed quite a bit from the old games. So Roman cancel is, you can use it during a combo, you can use it to cancel your animation and set up a new combo. So for example, my character Giovanna, if I land a combo where I go, like I do this kick, triple kick, thrust kick into this big back wolf kick, I can then hit Roman cancel, which will cancel my animation, and then I can go into a new combo going into, which I usually go into this triple flying kick type deal. So that's one use of the Roman cancel. Another use is if you're getting attacked and you're blocking, you can Roman cancel to smash them out of their combo.
Hmm.
So it'll break their combo. If you use Roman cancel, when you're not doing anything, it will generate this blue aura, which will hit their, if it hits an enemy, it slows them down. So you can use that to mess up with their timing, or like what I like to do when it's near the end of the match is I'll rush at them, hit it, slow them down, so they can't counterattack properly in my throw, so I can get the last hit in for the throw. So you got, and that's where the deepness comes in with this game, where you start using all those variety of stuff to mix it up to make the gameplay interesting for the more hardcore players.
Okay, and so, how do they, so, and like, are you just doing random matches, or is there actually some kind of story that you're following
the characters? This is really interesting how they've done it. So they still have the classic sort of arcade mode where there's a little bit of story going on there, not that much. You know, you go through your typical 8 bouts and you have some characters talk and have a little bit of story there. Okay. And have like, even like characters jump in, you have a like 2-player sort of deal going on.
Okay, that sounds fun.
But then they've got their main story mode, which is a non-playable story mode. It's just a movie.
What?
It's just an anime movie.
Holy shit, man. They literally, they heard this podcast and Lockie say that he basically does not play any of the Mortal Kombat games, but he watches all of the cutscenes on YouTube. This, it's like they've designed the story mode for Lockie. It's like, no, look, here's just a story. That's crazy. Is it like an anime-style movie, basically?
I wouldn't say it's as a quality of a movie or even a like even an anime TV show.
Okay.
It's a video game developers trying to make an anime, in a sense.
How long does it go for?
I think I've watched an hour and a half so far, and I'm not done yet.
Oh, holy shit.
There's lots of content, and it is lots of anime exposition as well. Like, you know how anime gets where they sit there, and they sit there talking about the world. It's like, okay, I love your story, but like you're not the best looking thing to sit there and watch. I see you're trying your hardest, but it's like their models are good, but it's so weird watching this thing where like the character models don't always feel like they fit onto the background properly. Like they sometimes they feel like they're sliding around a bit more, and because they're using their low frame rate style, it looks a little janky at times as well.
Okay, yeah.
It's definitely a video game publisher trying to be like an anime studio in a way. It's just like it's.
I love it. I love the thought of that. It's like, you know, we're not gonna try link gameplay and story together. We know like it can barely be done in fighting games. Let's just here's the story and then here's the gameplay. Don't mix them too much together. Just one or the other.
Like it's unfortunate because I got to that hour and a half point. I was like, okay, I'm going to take a break because I actually want to play the game. So I jumped on online mode and then I haven't been back to the story mode because I just can't play. But Guilty Gear does have.
You want to play a fucking game, don't you? Not watch a fucking anime. Oh my god! I love it though. It's such an interesting idea. I got to appreciate just the.
I'm not going to sit there complaining about it too much. It's interesting what they've done. It's cool that they're trying something different, and lots of people love the Guilty Gear storyline. It gets crazy with Gears were actually like these super weapon human beings that were developed, and it goes in like magic and technology have been merged, and this thing with another like dimension called the background and having things trying to like come in and destroy the world, and it's like
Jesus Christ.
And like beings have been alive for hundreds of years. Like one of the main characters you follow, Soul Bad Guy, he is the namesake, he is the Guilty Gear, and he's been alive. Like he was a scientist, one of the ones that helped build the Guilty Gear system. The gear system, and he's just been around for hundreds of years. Like his wife, like died of like some disease. I don't remember exactly what it was, but like one of his best friends on the thing, like ripped out half her soul out and put it into one of the other gears, and then she's now been sort of reborn of this mix of her soul and this other gear's soul sort of been mixed. So now this confusion of this character is like she has memories of like loving Frederick, which is Soul Bad Guy, but also being conflicted with, like, so it gets really deep and confusing.
You have Kingdom Hearts me here. I've lost you. lost you like 10 plot points to go at this point.
Yeah, you have a character that can jump between time, and that's one of the main plot points of this game is her trying to get her power back to be able to jump between times, because she's trying to stop what I think she calls the grey timeline happening, where, like, in the future, it's going to be pretty much nothing but grey left. And then you have another character that can just... he just randomly pops through time. Axel Lowe. I think he can control it now, but when I was watching, like, the... like, recapping myself, like, yeah, he didn't have control of it, and he was just... pop, 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 everywhere through time. He's weird.
Okay.
You have a ninja chip, which eventually he hates the assassin guild that's in the game, and eventually he created his own kingdom of chip. So yeah, it gets weird.
It certainly does. Far out. Oh, have you got anything else to say on Guilty Gear?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite fighting games at the moment, and if you're gonna jump in, now's the time to jump in, because it's always best to jump in for fighting games at the start, when they first start, because everyone's learning at the same time. Like, okay. I jumped in Dragon Ball FighterZ late in the game, and yeah, that's just pretty much jumping into the fire, where everyone's been playing this for years, so they're gonna kick your ass. So now's the time to jump in. It has fantastic netcode, so you can play online, and it feels fantastic. Like, you can play anyone, like I said, we play people from America, and it feels great.
Bloody Oath, man, do you think you're ready to put a review score on Guilty Gear Strive?
It's really hard to put it into it, but yeah, for me, I'm having so much fun. Like, I guess eight, nine. Like, the story, I haven't been following it, but just the game is so much fun to play and online. Yeah. So yeah, just high marks for that alone.
Bloody Oath. Bloody oath. Guilty Gear. Looks really, really cool. I think if any of this sounds appealing to you, check out like some gameplay of Guilty Gear. And if that looks good to you, yeah, it sounds like it's definitely one to jump in on. It seems like the fighting community is pretty all on board with this one by the sounds of it, April.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they love it. Like, there's just, like, the only discourse I've really heard is like sort of the discussion about the simplification of the, like, people that played the original Guilty Gears, they're definitely going, we can feel the simplification of the mechanics. Okay. And we're not quite sure that we'd like it. So, okay. Yeah, you got that type of stuff happening.
Okay, well, I hope there's not going to be any discourse with this next game we're going to talk about, because, oh dearie me, I love me some Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. Now, we'll keep this very, very, very brief, because we are going to be recording a spoiler episode of News to Reviews after this on Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. And, yeah, bloody look forward to that sometime later in the week, I think, whenever I can get around to editing that one. But, yeah, bloody very pumped to get into spoilers on this one, because I enjoyed this game so much. But, yeah, just for people who, you know, listened to last week's episode, we dove very deep into that one with Dylan Vanderpoonen from the Beta Network. If you want to hear more in-depth, spoiler-free thoughts on Ratchet & Clank, I recommend listening to last week's episode. But yeah, for now, I'll just say, like, if you have a PlayStation 5 and you're looking for, like, an interesting, fun platformer to play, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart is a no-brainer. Now, like, things that I didn't mention on last week's because I hadn't experienced them yet, I have had a couple of little bugs. Basically, the person who distributes your weapons in Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart is Mrs. Zircon, and she's a really cool little character. But basically, there's a certain planet that I got to, and I've completed the game twice now, and it's happened both times that I've got to that planet. But basically, when enemies attack you in Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, and Mrs. Zircon is around, she'll basically sort of run and hide, and you won't be able to access the store. And for some reason, there was a certain planet I got to late in the game where all of a sudden, no matter what, I would go up to Mrs. Zircon and she would just run away and hide, and I couldn't access the store at all. Like, you know, I couldn't refill ammo or buy new weapons or anything like that. I went to other planets and she was doing it everywhere. So I had to close the game and reopen it. And there was also another planet I got to where a cutscene didn't trigger that was supposed to trigger. And basically, I got to a point in that planet where it would not let me progress. Like, I was doing what I needed to do to complete the objective. But because this other cutscene hadn't progressed, it wouldn't work. So basically, it was sort of like it was pretty much a soft lock. Like, I had to reload a previous save, and luckily they sort of give you a few previous saves to choose from and restart that planet. Otherwise, if I was stuck on that save, I would have had to restart the entire game. So, you know, like, as far as the way the game feels and controls and the way the story is told, I think it is quite polished, but, you know, it's not polished in the sense that I did still experience these bugs. I noticed that there was a day one patch that it obviously downloaded that mustn't have addressed these issues, but there was a patch that downloaded just a couple of days ago. So these issues could have been addressed, but, you know, that aside, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart is my favorite game of this year so far. I had an absolute blast with it. If you're a fan of Ratchet & Clank, it's an absolute no-brainer, especially if you own a PlayStation 5. And if you are not a fan of Ratchet & Clank, you've never tried it before, this is a great one to jump in on. You'll have a lot of fun with all the mind-bending, dimension-swapping shit. It's so good. Paul, what are your thoughts on Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart?
It's a fantastic game. It looks spectacular. Like, you're playing a Pixar game pretty much at this point. The graphics are so beautiful. Talking about like any like issues, I've had the game crash probably two or three times.
Oh, okay. I didn't experience any crashes. So like a soft crash or the whole console crashed?
Like
the software
crashed.
Closed or the whole console?
Whole console pretty much froze. Ooh, so I've had like it actually hard lock where I've had to completely turn off the PlayStation and restart it.
Shit.
So I had some pretty bad ones, but yeah, like I said, I only got three, I think, throughout my whole playtime. So
did it have to do the database rebuild thing though when you turned it on again?
Yes.
Because that fucking terrifies me, because I've heard of that happening and people's consoles never rebuilding themselves. So every time that's ever happened to me, which is probably going to happen today because the power went out last night.
Yeah.
I always get that anxiety, like it's not going to work. I don't know. Yeah. Does that stress you out at all?
No, I've had it happen quite a few times.
Okay.
I've had a few power outages. I've had a few times where I don't know what's happened, but yeah, I've come back to my system and it's like, oh, something happened, so I gotta rebuild it. I'm like, oh, cool. But yeah, I've never had that issue where it's corrupted the memory, whatever.
But yeah, but three crashes in a 12 to 15 hour game, it's definitely something that I'm glad you mentioned it. It's something our listeners should definitely be concerned about.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the game itself is just fantastic. Gameplay feels really nice, smooth. Guns are a lot of fun. I kind of miss the pixelator from the remake.
Oh man. Oh, but, dude. Okay. Yep.
There's some interesting guns, but there's like a few from the older ones that it's like I kind of miss, I think.
Well, I got the pre-order bonus for Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, and one of those things you get for the pre-order bonus is the pixelizer straight off the bat as soon as you start the game. And it's so good. It is great. I love the pixelizer.
Well, apparently it plays a song with the vibration on the PlayStation 5 controller.
But you know what? I don't have my controller speaker up very loud because it's annoying.
Through using the vibrations, apparently. Oh.
I could feel it sort of does. It definitely, there's always shit going on with the haptic feedback, but I didn't notice it playing a song, though.
Yeah, Insomniac put it on Twitter and they showed it off. So it's
okay. I'll have to have another look at it. Yeah, I don't know. Like, they do things like, I know with the Ricochet. If you listen to the controller, it's making like the sounds like a pinball machine, basically, as the ball will knock the enemies back and forth.
Yeah, it's one of the things that sucks because I play with using my good headsets, so I never hear the controller sounds.
Yeah, well, it wasn't until same as you, I wouldn't say it's the greatest headset ever, but I got the Pulse 3D headset for the 3D sound, and it was. I played through the whole game using that, and I thought it sounded great. The 3D sound worked really cool. You especially notice it in that scene, which this isn't a spoiler because it's in the gameplay trailer, where you're looking for that club, that nefarious club. You could the way the 3D sound worked there was fucking fantastic. As soon as I turned off the sound just to do the collectibles and I had stuff on YouTube playing or whatever, I could hear the controller, and the controller's going off when you're doing a lot of the stuff. It's pretty cool. But do you have a review score for Ratchet and Clank?
I guess I'll have to probably give it a 9.
Fucking A.
Probably really close to that 10. Like, it is really good. I had lots of fun with it.
Yeah, bloody oath. Look, the only other brief little negative I'll mention is the story. Some of the writing isn't the greatest. Some things just sort of happen because the story just has to move along. Like, there's just random exposition sort of for no reason. But, it's sort of designed for kids, and Ratchet and Clank stories have never been like the peak of storytelling and all that. But it was still a good story, though. I enjoyed the character, and I found it satisfying, that's for sure. Yeah.
I definitely believe characters are a lot more important than your overall story. If you have your characters that are really well, likable and, they're the ones that are going to get you through the story.
Interactions and some of the scenes. We'll get into more of that when we do get into the spoilers of it. But, I absolutely love Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. I think Insomniac is just firing on all cylinders at the moment. They're killing it. Like, Spider-Man in 2018, Miles Morales last year is one of my favorite games of last year. It's so good. I think I might like Miles Morales better than the 2018 Spider-Man game. And now Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. It's great. I absolutely love it. It's my favorite PlayStation 5 game so far. My favorite game of the year so far. This is going to be a contender for game of the year for me for sure. Oh, absolutely love Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, and I'll have to give it 11 rivets out of 12 clanks. So, look, the only thing that would hold it back, there's a couple of little bugs here and there, which, at this stage these days, it's almost to be expected in any game, whether it's AAA or not, unfortunately. But still, like, yeah, that and, you know, my little qualms there with the story. Yeah, absolutely adore this game. As I said before, if you're a fan of Ratchet & Clank, or if you haven't tried Ratchet & Clank before, and you own a PS5, you've got to play this one. It's so bloody good. Ooh, we did it, Paul. Bloody, that was a massive episode. I guess I underestimate the amount of E3 news we had there. Holy shit, and getting to talk about Guilty Gear Strive. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for joining us this week.
Yes, it seems that you underestimate my power to talk shit.
I'm so used to having Lockie here. I just said joining us this week. Me and all my other personalities. Oh, jeez. Yeah, thanks so much, Paul. It's been a blast.
No, it's always good to be here. Always good to have a nice chat with Zach and Zach.
Oh, God. Well, Zach and my alter ego, Zach, would love to know, and so would our audience, would love to know where they can find all the content that you create.
So, I already mentioned my Twitter and Twitch, ThunderMaceAUS, but I'm part of a podcast called The Inconsolables.
Oh, yeah!
Which you can pretty much find anywhere, Spotify. I don't usually do the promo stuff, so I'm terrible at this. Spotify and all those other places that you buy podcasts. I think was it Podchasers? I think it's a
Podchasers one place. Yeah, you're on all the things. You're on iTunes. Yeah. Give them a review.
I'm pretty sure if you Google us, we're like the second thing there. So definitely go find us.
Check out their podcast. It's bloody fantastic. I tune in every single week. I've been a guest on the show. Lockie's been a guest on the show. It's always a lot of fun whenever we get to join you guys. You know, if you listen to them on iTunes, be sure to give them a review. And if you listen to us on iTunes or on an iPhone, it only takes a couple of seconds and it really does help us out. If even just like a quarter of our audience wrote a review for us, it would help us out a million times. If you can take the time to write us a review, please do. But you can always check us out on all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Our Twitter handle is at News2Reviews, and that's with a number 2 instead of the word 2. And you can send your feedback to us at News2ReviewsPodcast@gmail.com. And all of these links, including all of Paul's links as well, will all be in the description of this show down below.
Because I'm terrible at marketing myself.
Hey, I put it there so we can all find it. Get amongst it. It's good stuff. Bloody oath. Paul, do you have any final words of wisdom for our listeners?
Just go out and play whatever you want and enjoy playing them however you want.
Yeah, fucking A. If you enjoy a game and no one else likes it, don't give a fuck. Just you enjoy what you enjoy. That's what life is all about. And yeah, I don't know. You can also take care of yourselves. And take care of one another.